security with quantum physics.
Yeah, that's right. So my name is Kevin Bogner. I'm a PhD student at COSIC. COSIC focuses about everything cryptography related at the University KU Leuven in Belgium. And I want to talk about quantum distance bounding, how to advance secure proximity. So the term quantum distance bounding basically divides into two areas. So you have the quantum part and the distance bounding part. The distance bounding part is a cryptographic protocol between two communicating parties. These parties are communicating in such a way that you are able to estimate the physical distance between these two parties. And quantum in this part basically means that we are relying on quantum mechanics to achieve this physical distance approximation. Usually when I talk about quantum and cryptography, people confuse these two topics. So we have post-quantum cryptography and quantum cryptography. Post-quantum cryptography is basically the development or the upgrade of our current classical cryptography, because we have the advancements of Shor algorithm and Grover's algorithm, and they currently break our classical systems. That's why we are developing post-quantum cryptography. It's basically slapping more mathematics on the issues, and it's not breakable with even when we have access to large-scale quantum computers. On the other hand, we have quantum cryptography, which basically relies on the magic of quantum mechanics. So these systems are even safe when you have access to unlimited computing power. In this talk, we're going to focus on the later one, so I think I'm the only one in this timetable who focuses on quantum cryptography and not really on quantum computing in that sense. All right, I want to start with a problem called the chess grandmaster problem. So just imagine you have two countries that are in war with each other. So you have country yellow and country green, and there's an actual system that got developed during World War II called identification friend or foe. And so how does it work? So both countries have access to missiles and also to planes. So what the missile does when it finds a plane flying above the territory, it gives the plane a challenge, and this plane then responds to this challenge, so the plane is not shot down. It's identified as a friend. So what happens if a missile finds a plane, which turns out to be an enemy plane? The plane, of course, or the pilot is smart, so what they are doing, they take this challenge, relay it to an airline missile. This airline missile finds an enemy plane. The enemy plane doesn't want to get shot, of course, so it responds to this challenge. This challenge is relayed back to the plane and used as the response for the missile from the enemy system. And with this idea, with this concept, they're able to circumvent the whole thing, and it's actually happened. So people thought, okay, maybe there's an interesting way if we implement clever cryptography to get rid of this whole problem. Turned out that's not the case, but there is something we can exploit, and it's basically the fact that this blue-black errors take way longer than the communication here on the green side. So this was kind of the development of distance bounding protocols. So I will give you a really high level overview of distance bounding protocols. You have a trust boundary, which is predetermined, so it's basically a physical distance. You have two communicating parties, the verifier and the prover. And these parties are communicating with each other in a challenge response manner. So what I basically told you, the verifier sends a challenge to the prover responds to this challenge. What the verifier does, the verifier stops the time how long it takes for the prover to respond to this challenge. Once the response is there on the verifier side, they can estimate the distance between these two parties. As in this example, the prover is outside of this trust boundary, so access is denied. If we have another party within this trust boundary, then access is granted. And if someone tries to trick the system by relaying the challenge, then access is also denied. That's basically the slide I showed you before. And you might be asking, where's the quantum part here? So the traditional or classical distance bounding protocols, they usually use as this medium of exchange classical bits. But in our example, we will use qubits for that. All right, so you might be asking, why are we doing this? So why are we not sticking with traditional distance bounding protocols? So what's the motivation for quantum distance bounding protocols? So there are some issues on the physical layer for classical distance bounding protocols. So you have conversion delays from analog to digital communication, and then you need to do the vice versa conversion, and this introduced some delays, so the distance measurement isn't as accurate as anymore. Then people thought, okay, maybe switch to a full analog processing thing, so we will get rid of all the digital stuff, do full analog stuff. Turns out this also introduced some new attacks, and people then thought, some researchers, okay, how about we change the whole system, instead of using radio frequency, we will use ultrasonic channels to slow the whole protocol down. Turns out this also introduced some attack vectors. So you might be wondering where or what are some possible applications for quantum distance bounding. Usually these two pop up in that case. So you have quantum networks, which are basically fiber-based quantum networks where you have several parties communicating with each other. You have quantum repeater, and it makes sense to imply quantum distance bounding there to kind of check that these parties are the amount apart as we expect them that they are. So we will kind of have an additional security measurement. The same can also be applied to satellite to ground communication, where you have free space links from Earth station and satellites. And what I want to emphasize on, that to implement quantum distance bounding protocols, you don't need a hardware or infrastructure upgrade. If you have quantum networks already in place, it's basically a plug-and-play solution.